I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bobby Moore and Sir Geoff Hurst, the Trevor Brookin and Billy Bones, Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United. We celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. Proud of our history, West Ham United, more than just a podcast.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. This is more than just a podcast.
Podcast.
Season 11, episode 38. 38 games, 38 podcasts. And with me in the virtual studio is Johnny B. Good evening. Where are you? What are you doing?
Good evening. I'm at my home talking to you, doing a podcast.
No, George. A good story this week. He booked off the time to go to Seville. We were all going to Seville. So he's taken the opportunity to go to CBeebies World, hasn't he? With Chelsea supporting baby Jessica. So no
big yet too to much be information. Confirmed,
yet
that?
To be confirmed. Yet to be confirmed. And also with us, Canning Town Len. Where are you?
Hello,
what are you doing?
I'm doing a podcast with you and talking to people.
Will your voice? You had a little bit of a cough at the beginning. Who? Off air. You. You all right? Or
yeah.
Just clearing your
no,
throat?
Right. Yeah. No, all right. No, I'm fine. I'm fine.
We are expecting Nigel, but we're running a little bit late. It's 7:30 on a Monday. We usually start at 7:00. He said, can you delay? And I said, 15. He said, no, 30. So we waited. In fact, we waited 4 minutes. But oh, and there he is. Look, if I speak long enough, he turns up. Nigel, where are you?
The what star you of the show.
I'm in my shed.
Oh, well, I didn't know if you were coming, so I didn't. Good. Glad you can make it.
Are you recording?
Yeah, we're recording. We started just about 2 minutes ago. I was just saying, we did wait a few minutes, and I thought he'd join as soon as he gets, he comes in. It's been a day,
got a question up. Nice.
Yeah,
so
some
get
time
plenty
ago.
Of questions. Some oh, time. Good
put,
man.
I have not put a question up.
Oh, that was last week's. So, Nigel.
I ain't got my glasses.
Bad day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, we won't start with you.
So I've got to go and get my glasses.
Yeah, exactly. So, good game. We only got one game to play, Bruce Forsyth, against Man City. Probably didn't expect very much. Mark Noble's last game, last home game of the season. Save our season, wasn't it, John? What did you think?
Save
I hope you watched
season.
It.
Those were the days, weren't it?
They
save
were save our season. Season.
Yes, I did watch it.
Was it built up too much?
No, I thought it was a good game, and I don't have any sort of opinions that it was too much about anything. There was a lot of talk of Noble, lots of.
Oh, really? Because some people said Sky didn't give enough respect to Noble, and it should have been on BT Sport because they would have paid him more respect. I don't know what that meant because obviously I didn't watch it.
Oh, I didn't. To be honest with you, I didn't watch all that sort of build up, but during the game and all that, there was lots of mention of Noble and.
Noble.
Noble.
Was the oldest, longest playing Premier League player. 549 appearances. Yeah. And 550 if he comes on, obviously, at Brighton this
nice,
Sunday.
Nice figure, isn't it? Nice figure to
550 makes him the fifth highest, I believe. But Nigel will correct me if I'm wrong. So, what did you think of the game?
I thought it was a very good performance, a very professional performance. Obviously,
did you expect to get battered like me?
No, I didn't think we'd get battered, but I didn't think we'd get battered. No, but I didn't think we would. At one point, I was holding thoughts of winning. So
yeah, well, yeah. Did at any point you go, do you know what? Half time, we'll probably be 2-0 up. You know, that wasn't your fault, was it?
No, but I mean, and the game didn't lend itself to it either, did it really? No. You know, they had massive percentage of possession, and they basically just, you know, had most of the ball doing what they could. But they didn't really trouble the keeper much, did they? Fabianski didn't have a lot to do.
Yeah,
they didn't have a lot. Weren't sort of peppering our goal. And then I think we've said on this podcast in the past about Bowen, he's a sort of really good player, and if they worked on
him. Is that 18 goals? Someone told me, and I haven't looked it up, but 18 goals this season in all competitions.
Well,
if true...
That's what I heard. That sounds a lot.
If true, that's the most goals anyone scored in all competitions, according to what someone told me tonight, and I must say, if true, but I'm sure Shedman will tell us if it's not, since Paolo Di Canio.
There you go. But we have said in the past, haven't we? If they got hold of him and they worked on him and his decision making and finishing was improved, he'd be some player. Yeah. And his finishing was incredible.
If Jack Grealish is 100 million, what is Bowen worth?
Well, nothing, so we wouldn't want to sell him.
No. Humour me, John. Humour me.
Humour you.
If Jack Grealish...
He's a very different player. Grealish,
I understand, but if he's worth 100 million, put a valuation, how much is Bowen worth?
Oh, I don't know. Bowen's probably worth 60, 70 at a million.
Really?
At a minute. Yeah.
He's not a £100 million player.
No, because he's got to do it consistently.
He's got to be picked for England, but that's another story.
I'd have gone less than that, to be honest.
All right, okay. Anyway,
I was very pleased.
Obviously, two Bowen goals. First one, what an angle, came in, went mental. In the London Stadium, and then the second one just before the stroke of half time, little whoop of celebration, jumping out your chair if your back held up, John.
No, it's funny, isn't it? Because it's VAR's sort of ruined it, isn't it? In the long run.
I had no doubt about those two. I didn't.
I did the second
did you?
One.
I thought, no, that's on side. I celebrated both of them at the time.
They're all, you know what it's like as well. You know, the as much as anyone might say or agree or disagree on how the refereeing goes against you. But, you know, when they all stood there, arm in the air, looking at the linesman, you're sort of thinking, well, he's going to be offside. But when they quickly show you the replay and you can see he's clearly onside, that's when you're like, get in. But by that stage, you can't. You're jumping out of the seat bit.
So it was a delayed celebration.
It's sort of like unless it's a clear, like blinding goal. But that was such a great move, great goal.
Yeah.
When Antonio played him.
Antonio, good game. I mean, he gets a lot of stick from a lot of people, but he had a good game.
You know, it's one clear opportunity.
He
sort of fluffed his lines, didn't he?
So, half time, 2-0 up. What's your feeling for the second half?
Well, hold on as long as we can, and happy to take the draw. So,
still at that point, you weren't getting carried away at half time.
I wasn't getting carried away, Sean. Okay. You know me. I'm not.
you're not an optimist, are you?
I wouldn't have started sending messages saying this is easy. We're going to show pictures of the league.
All right, I did.
Well, you do always do stuff like that. And
I know, but I'm not superstitious. It's like me sending a picture affects the outcome of the game. If only it was that easy, John.
Well, it does have some kind of merit every time you send stuff like that.
Come on, if you believe in superstition, that actually does something. Jesus.
No, I just believe that you're a bit of a bellend sometimes and causes
that may be true.
So you should just stop doing it. Stop doing it. You, it just like stresses people out.
I know. That's why I do it. I bait people. Go. Anyway, respect the point at the end. All four goals scored by West Ham, really.
Yeah.
Would you not agree? Well, Grealish's only came off of Dawson. Yeah, sort of needed deflected. A deflection. I think it would have saved. And obviously Dawson's magnificent header into his own goal.
That was Sue Foul.
Sue Foul. Sorry, Sue Foul. Yeah. Sue Foul.
But yeah.
So, you know, they didn't really get a touch. Four goals by West Ham.
I mean, we had, sorry, we, had the we had the opportunities to get
we should have killed it. Yeah.
We could have won it. Yeah. I mean, but no, it was a really good professional performance. Given the levels that the two teams are at, that's how we should have set up. Yeah. That's how we should have played. And yeah, it was very right. pleasing.
Let's move on, Glenn.
Keeps us in the hunt, doesn't it? 1 point keeps us in the hunt.
Yeah, it keeps us in the hunt. We need a little bit of help now. We need Palace to win. Get a draw or a win against
United.
United do need to win to secure sixth place.
And then we need to we need what to we beat. Don't do very often.
We need to beat Bogey Tim away. Anyway, let's move on to Len. Len, was that the last game you're going to see in person at the London Stadium?
No, of course it's not.
Why? You said you're giving up your season ticket, I'm sure.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean to say I won't ever go again.
Is that the last game?
Why are you got to make it about me for? It's Mark Noble's day.
I know, but I'm just asking you the question.
You're just troublemaking all the time.
I know, this just answer the question. Or are you undecided?
No, I'm undecided. It was great down there. Crowd really good yesterday.
I was going to say, yeah. You
not the library it was.
We met up in the supporters club.
Really enjoyable week.
We denied access to begin with, but we got in there. Yeah, it was good. It was a good atmosphere. They had the old beach balls out. That's the old bowling coming out. Do you remember when they used to get the old inflatable beach balls? There were some in Bobby Moore Low and there were some over in St Fred Brookin in the opposite corner to us. The old beach balls flying around.
Yeah, I didn't see that, to be honest.
Did you not? Let's talk about the game then.
All right then.
Mark Noble's last game. You know, he said, don't start me. League's more important, which is... No, wouldn't expect anything else from Mark Noble. Obviously, we've said probably didn't expect too much from the game, but didn't take their chances, did they? And
we did.
We did, yeah.
I wouldn't say we took all of our chances, but Bowen almost took all of his chances.
Yeah. Well, he's taken more than one chance. I hear tonight that he's proposing to Danny Dyer, and he asked...
is that Clarence Hugh exclusive, is it?
I don't know. But that's what I've heard. And he went to ask the father for the handyman.
Oh, my fucking God. Can you imagine the scene?
I'm not sure he speaks like that anyway.
What's he, Harry Kane now?
I know.
Harry Kane anyway. With a mouth full of something.
He back can't to the game. I think there was... Gonzo actually said that our team... on paper is worth 119 million of what we paid for it, which is, and obviously Jack Grealish alone is 100 million. So it was Goliath versus whatever, David versus Goliath. I don't know. It just happened, didn't it? In the first half, we were the better team or we took our chances more.
No, we took our chances.
They had the possession. I mean,
yeah, they had the possession. We don't mind that. I'll
just read a stat attack. They had over the 90 minutes, they had 79% of possession.
Yeah, it looked like it. No.
To our 21, they had.
We counted.
You'll love this. They had 31 shots, 8 on target. We had 6 shots, 2 on target. Corners. Now they had a ton of 9 corners to our 4, and it did seem a lot of corners. I thought it was double figures. So, they had 697 passes to 189. So,
yeah.
I know, games go like that. I mean, I was being messaged by Liverpool fans, you may have been as well, going, go on, go on. No, you're going to be, you're massive if you can pull this off. But like John. I thought. I thought,
yeah,
a lot of people don't want Liverpool to win the title, do they?
Despise them.
Yeah.
That was the only silver lining when they got the penalty, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the penalty, because we didn't talk about that. I don't know what you thought at the time. I thought the ref, Anthony Taylor, isn't it, had an awful game. Is that just us saying that? I should have asked John this, and I will ask him. We thought it was one of the worst refereeing experiences, certainly all season, maybe for a long time. John, did you, from the TV coverage, were we being biased with our rose-tinted spectacles?
No, it wasn't the best refereeing display, but I did mention it earlier, didn't it? We sort of, you look at it and you sort of feel like you get hard done by, and I'm sure everyone does, I suppose.
And it was a pen, yeah?
Yeah, I guess it was.
Harsh, then.
That was right in front of us, and it didn't look like a penalty in front of me.
No, it didn't look like a penalty to me.
But when you saw the replay...
And to be fair, again, the ref missed that as well, really. It was VAR that gave that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it wasn't so much... It was the way Antonio was being... I mean, Fernandinho clearly couldn't do no wrong, and he was just... like all over him all the time.
They were saying that City, I mean, obviously City biased people, big club bias, were saying that City deserved another penalty that wasn't given.
Where was that?
I don't know.
It was that Zuma kicked Jesus.
Oh, what a kick. Yeah, no, I think he'd already lost the ball by then.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been a harsh penalty, really.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what VAR gives.
Bad penalty or brilliant save from Fabianski.
Oh, that's a good save.
Yeah.
It wasn't an awful penalty for him, was it?
It wasn't the best, though, was it?
I mean, it wasn't in any of the corners. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, he's still at work.
He's still got it, isn't he? He's still got it.
Yeah. Well, he flapped a couple of times again, didn't he? But, you know, he has still got it.
Yeah. Who's your man of the match? Go on, you ask that question.
Do you think he'll be number one next year?
Starting the season, I do, yeah. I think Areola will stay, but I do think he'll start the season. Who was your man of the match? Take away Bowen, obviously.
Oh, take away Bowen.
Take away
Antonio.
Take away the man of the match, Lennon.
Yeah, take away the man of the match. It's like the bookies. Anyone but the favourite.
Mm. Antonio.
He had a good game.
We could go forward yesterday. Show about that, Chip.
Yeah.
Hardly Paolo Di Canio, was it?
No. Anyone at fault for conceding the goal? Do you blame Tuchel?
Well, he didn't need to do it. He was having a good game, but there was no danger in that cross at all.
Yeah.
It's one a shame. Of those things. There you go. That's football.
We held on for the draw at one point, you know, when the penalty came, we thought we were going to lose it. So respect the point. And, you know, it gives us a chance of getting sixth place. I'm okay with seventh. And we, you know, Wolves mucked up. So we've definitely got European football. Seventh.
Yes, we
do. Now. So that's just before we move on to Nigel. Mark Noble, I assume you stayed to the end and watched the presentation. I say that because I know some people who left, but you stayed and watched the speech, the emotional speech. A little tear in your eye, Len?
No, not a tear in my eye.
Did they do it right? Did the club get this one right or not?
Well, not sure really. I thought it was a little bit with a plinth in the middle and give them a shirt, framed shirt from the club shop. It's a bit more than that.
So, but, you know, obviously
you
had the mosaic. Well, that was what I'm going to ask you. What would you have done different? So you've got the mosaic, you've got the, you know, the banners with the balloons, you've got the fireworks and the flames, you know, they showed the clips, they showed the supporters, etc. He comes on, he has a guard of honour as he comes out. It comes on, he cries, he says something emotional, and he does a lap of honour with his team. I don't know what else could we expect? I'm not being defensive of the board, I'm just saying, what else could we have expected?
Well, I don't know. Really? Why are you asking the question?
No, I'm just saying, did they do this one right? Because the bowling ground, I didn't think was that great.
Well, this wasn't that great either.
But, all right, well, that's why I'm asking. I don't think it matters. That's what I'm asking.
You know, it's just someone...
You're a man in showbiz. What would you have done differently?
I don't know. You put me on a spot. I'd have had Iron Maiden there, actually.
Fair enough.
Would you want me to say?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, if a drunk Cockney Rejects could do the bowling, then why not Iron Maiden, you know? It was a tough one. I don't know. You don't want to be too sentimental and everything. I personally think we get it right. But let's go to...
You thought we got it wrong?
I thought we got it right. Said? No, I thought it took you a little while. You thought we got it right? I thought it took
you
a little while.
You thought we got it right?
I'm glad it wasn't Bianca and it wasn't Ben Shepherd. And I did think the frame thing was a bit naff, but what do you get, a man who's got everything?
Supporter's dog got it.
But, Mel, we'll talk about that in a minute. Anyway, Nigel, the game. City, league leaders. Could we be the upset? Discuss.
Could we?
Could we be the upset, yeah.
Well, that's like a question you'd ask before the game was played. But the game's been played.
Did you believe we could be the upset beforehand?
No.
No. We could have been, though.
I mean, the evidence... I mean, if you're discussing, like, before the game... I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I thought, actually, we could actually do something against City. And then I watched City's last two games, where they absolutely demolished...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Wolves won last one, 5-1. They'd scored something like 10 goals in the last two games.
De Bruyne got a hat-trick, didn't he?
De Bruyne got four. Just think, if Man City... And when you look at Man City's record against us in the London Stadium, not against David Moyes, though, I think, it was littered with 4-0s and 4-1s and 5-0s. You know, last season it was a 1-1 draw at the London Stadium, but there was no fans there, was there, to hold the club back. it was one of them, especially bearing in mind that probably a win would have sealed them the title.
Yeah.
It was all for them, and I think we caught them cold.
Yeah, I was going to say, did they have an off day or?
I don't know if they had an off day, because if you looked at the possession,
79%. I mean, if you looked at the first half, it might have even been more. Or second half, it was
their first half performance was strange.
It was, wasn't it?
Very slow.
No, but you say that, and that possibly, and this is the thing, is it because that's the way we managed to stop and play? Moyes come up with something, and that actually we did our own work on them, and that we allowed them to have the ball in front of us, but not behind us, and they couldn't pick a pass through us. And then we caught them on the break, two outstanding finishes from Bowen. Put us into sort of dreamland in a way at half time. And the thing with City is that. I think City, Real Madrid, I don't even know if they're the only couple. I don't even think possibly Liverpool, a team's capable of getting like two goals in a couple of minutes when their backs are to the walls. There's literally one handful of clubs in the world that have got the ability to do that. City have got the ability to do that, to turn it on at the flick of a switch. I came out second half. I suppose the one thing we didn't want to do was to concede an early goal, and that's 3 minutes in that they've got their foot in the door. Because I think the longer we'd have kept them at bay, the longer we'd have frustrated them, and the third goal could have been on. As it was, it was an unfortunate own goal from Kufal. I don't think he needed to go to the header, but when you're in that moment. You got a split second, and how Man City play. They have a front line of four normally when they're putting the ball in the box. So he just felt the need to just get anything on the ball. It's always dangerous doing that when you look at it. he just didn't need to do it, but he weren't to know that. You know, he's facing the ball as it comes across. He don't know what's behind him. So, you know, I don't play the blame game anyway.
I know you don't.
I don't think he's to blame. Then the chances we had to then, you know, get another goal, Antonio.
Yeah.
You know, they were very sloppy at the back in the second
half. Was he selfish not passing that, Antonio?
Bowen was selfish before Antonio's lob, because he picked the ball up and ran at the byline into the penalty area and then tried to slot it in from a narrow angle when the side netting, and he had two hanging round the six-yard line. So if he'd pulled it back, he had the couple there. You know, Antonio's... The decision he made was correct. The execution was pretty poor, if we're going to be honest. When you're lobbing a keeper, from where he was, you've got to try and go for the far post rather than the near post, because then that allows you a margin of error that you may get it right. So,
who else stood out for you? Obviously, you've mentioned Antonio, you've mentioned Bowen. Who else stood out?
Look, I thought Dawson had a fantastic game. Rice was his usual,
Did it look like his last game in a West Ham shirt?
No, didn't. Because he'll play Sunday against Brighton.
all right, home game then.
Yeah. So no, it didn't. I actually think Rice will want to see next season. He will be captain of his own right.
Yeah.
And I don't know. You know, I'm guessing here, actually. I don't know the mentality of him. You know, it's easy to go, oh, Rice loves this club, Rice. You know, the Republic of Ireland, when he was like 17, probably thought the same about him. And while he is a fantastic player for England, let's face it, you know, what he did, you know, I said it at the time, he did the dirty on the Republic of Ireland. And there lies in, is that a mentality that runs through him?
I don't think so. I think that was we've had that discussion before. I think they're made to choose a national team at a young age, where they're not sure where their careers are going.
No, true. But then, you know, when you play with the under 15s, 17s, 18s, 21s.
Yeah, I know.
And play three times for the full team. You know, I know it's only friendlies and whatever. I don't
think it's a flaw in his character. Is what I'm saying.
No, we don't know him. You know, we've been, and this is the thing. I'm not being negative on him or down on him, but how many times have we seen a player like this, you know, declare their love for West Ham? And yet when the big boys turned up, they went, well, we'll see you later.
Yeah.
Partly down to the club, but partly they were happy to go as well. So,
I don't think any of us would begrudge him if he went this summer.
No. The only good thing is, where in the past, possibly financially, it was we sold players, you know, because we couldn't turn down the money. At this time, and I think this is what does us a favour with Rice, we don't need to sell him financially. It's not like, you know, we've got 100 to 150 million already in the bank for the transfer window. We don't need another 100 million. You know, we're all casting doubt on whether Moyes would spend 150 million.
Yeah.
Yeah? So having another 100 million... And having to worry about replacing Rice, it's not a necessity for the club. If Man City said, we'll give you 100 million for him, we could easily say, nah, you're right, thanks.
But I think we don't need to,
and that's the difference.
That's the only way it gets decided, is if someone steps up.
But then it's on the player, and this is where we'll see the mark of him, in a way, is that, you know, does he... think he can do something with West Ham, or does he want to have it on his toes?
I honestly think if City come in with him this summer offer 100 million on the table, he'd go.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I wouldn't blame him, because, you know, there's never, unless he knows differently, but we've never seen a clear plan from even this like group of people managing our club, we've never seen a clear sort of set out program of players. We're going to get this player, that player, get them in, get them ready for the start of this, you know.
I don't think we can deliver what he wants anyway. If he says he wants to go and play Champions League football and whatever, I don't think we can deliver that anyway. So when he says that, and that's the thing, when he comes out and says things like that, he knows, you know, let's, you know, be frank about it. He's going to say that. He's going to know that he's not achievable with West Ham.
Well,
West Ham.
We've had this as well before. I believe that if we weren't in the Europa League this season, we would have been challenging for the Champions League. I think we would have been challenging Spurs and Arsenal.
Well, I don't. And I'll tell you why, because the Champions League, when it finished in December, we were sitting fourth. Yeah? So we never had that worry until it started again in March. We'd already started to fall down the table before then. So I don't believe...
It was the amount of games... And the injuries that we incurred was the drop off. Honestly, if we weren't, I mean, the teams that we subsequently put out against Spurs, Chelsea, and you know, after when we were getting closer to the semi final and all that, those games, I do think we would have been up there pushing.
No, so, how far off the top four are we?
Yeah, well, you take points those wise. Games out of it.
We're 10, 11 points already off of it.
Yeah, but that was as we dropped away. You know, at the time, honestly, if we'd have done, I honestly
I'll
believe
we would
be challenging.
I'll just tell you now, we are on 56. Fourth top, place is 68. 66.
Yeah,
68.
12 points. So yeah. we're 12 points off fourth. In fact, if Arsenal win tonight, we're 13 points off fourth. Europa League has not cost us 13 points, and neither has not buying anyone in January. So if anyone sits there and thinks, oh, if he'd have bought a strike in the centre-half in January, we could have been challenging
what
the top
four. What a great thing to be arguing about, whether we get sixth or seventh place and we're in Europe again. You know,
I kind of believe that the injuries that we had, the games that we played, you know, as soon as we lost Ogbonna and then Zoom at the same time, then the whole season.
Yeah, but remember, when we didn't sign anyone in January, you were doom and gloom, John, as you often are.
Yeah.
And if you would have been told at that point we'd be in a semi-final Europa League with not signing anyone.
I'm not complaining.
And finished seventh. We would have bitten their hands off and gone, brilliant, you know?
I've said it before. You can be grateful and happy with what's been achieved and whatever, but it doesn't mean you can't say that if we had bought a striker and a defender in January, we might have got an extra three, four points.
Yeah.
But
anyway,
I mean, hopefully, if you know what I'm saying is, hopefully, Declan Rice, if they can show around him, this is what we're going to do. Because contractually, he's got 2 years with an option.
Yeah.
So they can afford for him to be here for another season if he doesn't want to sign.
Well, 2024, he lifted up that shirt 2024 when he signed his contract. So, let's get back to the game before we get on to anything else, and we will come back to this. Nigel, anything to say about the game? Last game for Mark Noble? I'm asking that, yeah. Do you think...
He'll get a run out of Brighton.
Milenko, I mean, 90 grand a week off the wage bill.
And this is the thing where I don't know if you are deliberately trying to wind me up. You can't equate a player just by what wages we're getting off of the...
Look, I'm a big fan of Yarmolenko, as you know, and with the whole Ukraine thing. But he hasn't been offered a new contract. It hasn't quite worked for him in the Premier League. I'm sure he's going to get another contract elsewhere, and we can reinvest that money this summer, or David Moyes can.
No, but
the same with Fredericks. It looks like Fredericks
do you want to talk about the Mark Noble, or do you want to get on?
Let's come back to that. We'll come back to that in the news. Let's talk about Mark Noble.
I thought it was nice to bring him on. To be honest, I thought it was only right that he got to come on. I possibly would have brought him on a bit earlier, to be honest.
Okay. He seemed to do all right when he came on.
Yeah.
We forget he's only 35.
Only 35. Trevor's retired at 34.
Yeah.
You know, I get it, but a modern day.
Did they get it right? The whole theme of the day, did they get it right?
What's he going on about?
I'm just asking. You've given your view already. Be quiet. I'm just asking Nigel.
What is there to get right? Look,
get back in your box.
I don't buy in. You know, what is it I said in the sports club afterwards? Well, obviously, Ray Winston's been sacked and replaced by Danny Dyer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for the voiceovers, for the videos. Yeah, I don't buy into them stupid video. No, the oppression.
Show
us.
They did it all right. Now, maybe I'm biased, but I
think
they
overdo
it. No, start, but I thought when they got
you
going,
asking me or
go
telling
on,
me?
Go on. Do you tell me?
I don't buy into those videos. They could show a video and just show us the goals that he scored and everything. That's perfectly fine. I don't need Danny Dyer come up with some codswallop written by the media department.
Mm.
You know,
I get what you're
by saying. People that don't even support West Ham.
Yeah.
You know, who have probably got one eye on a Tottenham result. You know, telling us about Mark Noble. We all know what he's done and everything. That could be celebrated. I did find it funny they gave him a shirt with his name on.
Yeah, he's probably got 549 shirts. So what he needs is another shirt,
isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, at least they put the lettering in gold.
I've heard someone, it was on Twitter, that David Sullivan gave him a travel bag or something. I don't know if that's true.
All right. Well, look.
What could you buy? Let's all think of something.
Would you buy Mark Noble? Man, he's got everything.
They're rich people, so I mean, what do they buy their own family?
No, that's why it's a bit. I don't know. You know, I just think I'd have liked Steve Potts out there with Brooklyn.
Yeah, I would have. I thought they would have bought in a lot of his old teammates. I thought, you know, Slav.
Well, before
and
you get
on
to it, he never played with Steve Potts. So the reason why I was saying that is because these are the one club hammers. And if
the
fact that he played for Hull and Ipswich,
then I thought they could have bought the old managers.
For Dacon and Redbridge, didn't
he? But they were non-league, weren't they?
I thought they could have bought Teddy Sheringham up there, and you know, people like that could have made the journey and not just be on video.
You know, they could. You know, I'd see
the PA
Mark
system
Noble's
doesn't work anyway. I mean, that's why they're spending £1 million replacing the PA system. I could hardly.
Well, they're
them.
Not.
They
they're
are.
Not. They How are. Can us be cost £1 million?
Well, if you'd read my article that I came out retirement for last week, I listed
can't
all the tenders.
Track of your coming out of retirement,
£60 million of tenders. There is no way we're taking over that stadium with £60 million of tenders out, including the stewarding and the security, fire officers, alarms, everything. It's all out for tender. Anyway, we digress. Back to Mark Noble.
You sure.
Did you shed a tear?
You want to tell us?
Did you shed a tear?
What?
I know.
Have you not wrote?
No, he didn't.
Did I shed a tear? No, I didn't shed a tear. I felt more emotional, fun enough, watching him cry, get upset. You know, it means a lot to him, the club, and everything. But the thing about it is, you know, while we're bigging our websites up, I wrote an article about one club West Ham players. And the thing that smacked me is when I did the research is, realistically, since the war, there was a lot from the 50s and 60s that managed it. But only Trevor Brooking is a player of absolute, I don't know, worthy of the hero worship. You know, he's like a god of the club, like a legend. You know, Steve Potts. Mark Noble, for me, is probably on the same level as Steve Potts. A great West Ham player. We were better to have him than not to have him. But he weren't no Trevor Brooking. And the mad thing is that only Noble and Steve Potts have been one club West Ham players since Trevor Brooking. So Brooking made his debut in 67. Before that, I think there was about 7 or 8 before Brooking. So it shows you how rare it is throughout football.
Yeah.
Especially these days. I mean, that's why the sort of 30-odd yards would make a big deal of it. Cause
I mean, what do you,
they
I mean,
didn't see Brooklyn on grass.
I don't know if you were at Brooklyn. Brooklyn's farewell was quite, not that quite funny, but Brooklyn's farewell, you know, his son was the mascot, old Warren come out. You know, the chairman handed him over a silver salver. You know, he got a
clock,
big cheer.
As well.
He got a big cheer and everything. And then I think we beat Nottingham Forest. But that weren't his last game, was it? Because we had a game Monday night against Everton. So they'd done this big fanfare on the Saturday, and Trev was back Monday night, and we I think we lost to Everton, but I remember sort of running on the pitch behind the people carrying him off. So that was the proper farewell. I suppose at least Mark didn't, you know, I don't know, you know, I think possibly if he gets on against Brighton, I think those going to the Brighton game will, you know, I think the last time he walks over.
You coming in?
Me? No, I've got too much going on.
Kitchen so. Snagging, yeah?
No, I've got other things. No.
Okay. All right, well, while we're on Mark Noble, I mean, I thought it was the last great game of the season. By the way, last game in my seat. I took a picture of my seat. I tried to actually get the number off because obviously they're knocking all our seats down. So row 19.
Well, I didn't think you had planning permission.
One, we haven't yet, but they are still moving us. Row 19, seat 199 was the last time I'm in my seat. So that's going. They haven't got planning permission yet. So that'll be interesting how they do that. But anyway, I digress. I waited to the very end with my son, and I didn't know it was going to happen. And obviously, I did know about it, but didn't know it was happening right in front of us after the lap of honour. We were just watching Noble and the team come in after they'd done the whole lap, and you know, probably 40 minutes after kickoff. And there comes Dan Francis, who's one of the player liaison guys, and he goes to get Mark Noble. And down below me, I see Paul Christmas and two other guys from the supporters club with Canning Townsend portrait that we haven't mentioned that he did as a commission for Mark Noble. Very good it was too. Well done, Len.
Thank you very much.
So I got a film and took a few pictures above it of watching Paul Christmas, his son, and Andy Reid's son, who's the chairman of the supporters club. They commissioned a painting for Mark Noble, and they got to award it. I just managed to be at the right time, right place to do it. But Len, tell us a little bit about this painting and how it came to be. And
well, I was asked, funny you should ask that, I was asked last year around October time by Andy. He obviously wanted a cartoon of Noble, so I can't give him a cartoon of man of his stature, really, for a leaving gift. Can't do that. I said, would you mind if I sort of... I said, I think... I've done lots of painting years ago. I haven't done it for a while, but I think if I could paint every day for 6 months, by the time I get to do the commission, I think I'll be up to speed. And this is what this painting project's been about, really. It's been about to give Mark his... a worthy...
and describe it for those listening and haven't seen it. What does it?
Well, it's called The Canning Town Boy, and it's Mark. I didn't want to do him in his playing kit because it was from the supporters club. I wanted to sort of somewhat represent him as a fan, and he's pictured on. He's actually like really from one of the balconies on the. On the flats in Priory Road, over the ground, with Canning Town in the background, the docks in the background. So it's an original composition. This original painting of him.
Good. I'll put a picture up on the Facebook group so people can see it. And
I've done it. Pictures. I'll put it there.
You have. All right.
With an advert for prints, of course.
You're selling prints. How much are the prints?
Like a pound note. Huh?
How much are the prints?
From £15, so £15. Nice. A special low price.
All right.
A4 for 15 quid.
Might have to do a story about that, come out of retirement for one day.
Yeah, why not? You know, I love your stories.
Yeah, I know you do.
Yeah.
Excellent. Anything else, Nigel, before we... I've got a little bit of news and then we'll move on to a short question time.
Anything else? Do you know the one thing that baffles me about Mark Noble?
Go on.
Right, well, and there's a big
apart
thing...
Apart from that he's cashing in already with his... launching his autobiography out in December, November, ready for 22 quid for December, and his ML 16 range only available in the club shop for a fortune. Yeah, go on, say.
No, he's born in Canning Town.
Yeah, allegedly.
Right, and I'll tell you why I find it strange. So Mark was born 87, yeah?
Yeah.
Is that right? 1987.
Was he born in Canning Town?
Well, this is the thing. This is what, you know, the club put out, born in Canning Town. You know, as much as I love Canning Town, that's a claim to fame even I cannot manage. Born in Plaistow, because that's where the hospital was. Obviously, they'd shut down the hospital.
No, Wikipedia says Canning Town, so it must be true.
This is the thing. Yeah, but where is the hospital that Mark would have been born in? Well, that would have been Newham General
Hospital.
Maybe
he's born at home.
Generals in Plaistow. Well, in 1987, were people born at home?
Well, the people have like bastards at home.
I was born at home.
I was born at home. What, in 1987, John?
No, in 1967.
Right. Well, 20 years later, people were not born at home.
Well...
Only a towner like you would find this important.
Without hopefully, we were offered.
I just, there's a lot of people I know that come from Canning Town, but where they say where they're born, unfortunately, they don't say, I was born in Canning Town. They were born
I'll
in...
ask him for you. He's going to come to the official supports club. I'll ask him. I said,
oh, he is.
My mate Nigel, my pedant mate Nigel. Wants to know if you were born in Canning Town.
He wasn't happy.
Was you born at home? I want to know the road. I want to look at it because I've got a sneaky feeling.
We should have mentioned.
He might have been a customer's boy.
With Len's commission painting, he was given his own West Ham supporters membership card, number 16. I'm number 30. Number 16, he's got that and he's promised to come down to the supporters club at the terrace. Podium bar, whatever you want to call it, next year for a beer.
Yeah, so he's got a card with one of my pictures on.
Yeah, yes, yeah. You were telling Andy that, weren't you?
My
picture.
I didn't know they'd nicked my picture.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they've got their own artist. Can remedy that.
As last home... Nigel, I think I hope you would agree. As last home games go, it was a good one, right? It's
great,
good that we
actually.
Did
yeah.
News. It was good atmosphere. Everyone had a good laugh. You know,
tell
we
what it was
away
as well.
Misery.
There was a good crowd there because the last few home games has been 45,000 top
agree
with you. And it probably looked more 55. There weren't that many gaps. So,
anyway,
I don't buy that we sold him cheap or whatever. I thought it was a fitting. Farewell. There's not a lot really you can do with those games. You have them on the pitch. You say to her, I thought it was a nice touch before the game, actually. I thought that was nice. Get him on the pitch before the game.
Yeah, it was.
Well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And the little small touches like, you know, minutes of applause on 16 minutes. I thought it's sometimes...
Well, no, I must admit I don't buy into that because get on with the game, you know. What'd you do if you wear number like 97?
Yeah, well...
What would you do? What are you going to do? We're going to drag the game out, are you? What if you wear 48? Do you that like in the third minute of extra?
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time at half time?
No, you do it. Oh, come on. Come on, you're such a miserable bastard. Let's move on. News-wise, funny enough, we've been talking about 150. So I'm told that there is £100 million available and up to £50 million from Kredinsky, who's offered to loan them. So 150 should be available to Dave Moyes. We've talked about Ollie Watkins in the past. The only other, we're linked with all names. It's a bit too early, but I have one more striker confirmed to me. And he's the Chelsea striker who's on loan to Southampton. Amadou Broya. Is it Broya?
Broja.
Amadou Broja. Who I think Saints want to offer £25 million for. But apparently he's quite fancied by David Moyes. They're the only two names I've heard. Ollie Watkins and him. I'm sure you've seen 100 names, but they're the only two I've had confirmed. As we said, Yarmolenko's going, David Martin's going, so is, looks like, Fredericks. Fabianski's signed a new contract, hasn't been officially announced yet. Oggy will be offered a new contract later this month or early next month, as long as he looks like he's going to recover. And obviously Ben Johnson's got the 2-year extension, and they're looking to sign him to a long term contract. He's going nowhere, as reported on this podcast some time ago, and it didn't have a massive impact at the time. You know, Rice was offered $200,000 a week. Obviously, our friend Jim White has confirmed it's 8 years. That's £83 million investment if he stayed for those whole 8 years. That's a lot of money. But I don't know. My only problem with this, and I've said this before, and Nigel's even agreed with me, the problem of offering $200,000 a week to your top player is, one, and I wrote about this, came out of retirement for one. One.
Do you know what? Can I just say something?
Go on.
That is becoming one of the most fucking annoying sayings now.
What, I came out of retirement?
Yeah.
I pick and choose when I write, right?
Oh, piss off. Just fucking admit it. Whoever had 3 months on the sweepstakes done well.
No, I don't work I don't churn out like I used to.
Don't mean you any different, does it? You're still writing guff.
I'm not writing guff. I write stuff that I know is true. I don't cut and paste anything. I only write stuff that I've got.
You mean you did before then?
It is guff, so sure, isn't it?
It's not guff. Anyway, the issue is that a lot of people have got parity clauses. What will Bowen want? What will other players want if he's being paid $200,000 a week? Because every agent will, every time a contract's coming up renew, Ben Johnson will go, well, if he's earning $200,000, I want $100,000. No, Bowen will say, well, I want $200,000. I'm a star, right? Not only that, but if you want to start sign these big players, you want Ollie Watkins. Ollie Watkins will go, well, if you're offering Rice $200,000 a week, I want $200,000. It's a slippery slope.
It's not your problem, is it?
No, it's not, but I'm just pointing out the problem.
Relax, Sean. Just
relax.
Well,
you say that, John, but you're one of the people who go, pay him what he wants.
No,
I'm
not.
This is the brigade.
I'm not going.
Do you think it's right that we should offer Rice $200,000 a week, John?
Oh, they offer him what they feel they can afford to offer him, as far as I'm concerned.
I think it's slippery slope.
And if he's not happy with it, he will.
You should have wage structures. Spurs do it right, and a few other clubs. Have a wage structure, stick to it. Up to now, we've had a wage structure of $115,000 a week, and we've not broken that. Even when Chicharito was here, he was on a basic that was no more than 115, but he got appearance
bonuses. Who told you that?
I just know, all right? I'm not going to
say.
Yeah,
all right.
I just know. There was a wage structure.
What a load of old crap.
There was a wage structure.
Yeah, what's Ariola on?
Ariola is not being paid that much by our club. He's still being subsidised 50% by PSG. It doesn't count. We pay
so
a loan
fee.
So
if he's on 250 grand a week and we're paying 50% of his wages,
he's not on 250 grand a week. If you think Ariola's
on... Do you know
on
what he's on then?
Yeah, I do. But I'm not going to talk about that. We pay...
I read he was on 130.
130 is what he's been reported to at PSG. We'd be paying half of that. If it's right, I'm not confirming it is, John. We'd be paying them. All I can tell you is Fulham were paying 75 a week when he was on loan with them. Don't believe everything you read. And by the way, he's not actually on our payroll. When someone's on loan, right, what happens is we pay money, but he's still on the payroll of PSG and they're paying his monthly fee. We pay a loan fee in instalments, basically. Anyway. Wait and see. Can't see Alex Kroll staying. I mean, I don't know what it was,
Really?
Went wrong, but he obviously ain't staying, is he? I mean, the bloke never got a proper run out. I don't know whether there was an obligation to buy. That's what I was told, but whatever. Is he any good? Did David Moyes get it wrong? But he's off. He's off. There was a story in The Sun this week that was wrong, that said Athletics, that West Ham were negotiating with UK Athletics for £15 million to buy him out of the London Stadium, and then we would have the right to rip it up and turn it into a London Stadium. That's complete bollocks.
Yeah.
It's not
it's
true.
It's been in a few papers.
It's not our contract. LLDC own there. It's a contract with them. Whether they're in negotiations or not, to buy them out after the Commonwealth Games, when they go to Birmingham, is neither here or there. It will be about saving money, moving the seats, and nothing about turning it into a stadium. Yeah. They've just spent £14 million on the West Stand. I think they spent £11 million or something on the North and West. They're not about to dismantle the gaffer tape and cable ties and breeze blocks and scaffolding to rebuild it all again. Nice story, but completely untrue. Tomorrow, LLDC board meet in East London, who own the stadium. They're going to announce that their running costs have increased by 4.2 million. And guess what they're blaming? They're blaming West Ham being in Europa League, saying actually putting on Europa League games cost them more money. Every extra game that West Ham played, they lost more money, about 100 grand a game. Policing and doing the... Leeds Cup game also cost them another 100 grand. They said losing the concerts also lost them money, and the pandemic meant they couldn't sell the naming rights. Excuses, excuses, excuses. In the meantime, I think I told you.
Not a good time for Foo Fighters drummer to die in, was it?
It wasn't. So that's been cancelled as well. I don't know if you know that. But obviously they've pulled out of that after the Foo Fighters as well. They have got Monster Trucks. They have got London Aid. They've got Green Day.
London Aid?
Football Aid. Football Aid, right. With Mark Noble. So they've got Monster Trucks. Some national final. I don't know what it is.
I loved it. You are so up to date.
What is it then? Do you tell me.
It's the National League promotion final.
That's it.
So whoever
National
wins
League,
goes into Division 2.
There you go.
Dagenham and Redbridge.
You're the
Wrexham.
London Stadium lover.
No, I just know what I'm talking about, unlike you.
All right. So tenders, here, Nigel, I know you're into this. This is the tenders they've just put out in the last 12 months. London Stadium, 56 million. So fire and safety officer services, 130 grand. London Stadium uniforms, only 80 grand. London Stadium steward and security contract, 20.5 million. Relocatable West Stand, 14.5 million. That's what they've just done. New staff entrance for 600,000. Event day barriers, 80 grand. Mobile hostile vehicle mitigation barriers, that's another 80 grand. Retail merchandise concession services, 8 million. I don't know what that is, but so you can sell concessions on non-West Ham games. PA system, replacement of London Stadium PA system, 1 million. And that's it. That one's just come out. So, Len, if you know anyone in the PA business, £1 million, you can replace all the speakers in the PA system. And what I would say is, if they're spending £56 million on contracts, some as long as 7 years, you can forget West Ham taking this over. It ain't going to happen. Not in the short term, anyway.
Would West Ham... And the funny thing is, and this is where I do find the thing, would West Ham want to? Because if West Ham took over the running of it, they're liable for all the bills. And we, as we've just seen, that running of the football stadium... I mean, the thing that baffles me is the stewarding. Why do they need a steward every 50 yards from the station up to the stadium? And they're all wearing London Stadium Ivies.
I think they overdo it. And this is probably the biggest bit, that when they went out to tender just a few months ago for £20.5 million, that was the, they've got no interest in West Ham running it, because West Ham would want to run their own steward in and not be tied to a five-year contract.
But why do you have that? We never had that at Upson Park.
I know. Get your own stewards and do it yourself.
Yeah, but what I don't understand is the stewarding in the ground is the worst. It's still, you know, you've got stewards.
They still don't recognise us. There's different people on our section. We have to show in and out.
If someone says to them, I watched, there was like an Indian kid and there was like a woman and a child sitting in the wrong seat. And she showed him her seat, her thing, and he's looking round, and I shouted to him, what row and seat number is it then? And he was like, he didn't know what to do. You look at the row and seat number. And I went, she's in the row behind us. So she had to get up because there was a bloke sitting on the floor in the aisle. She was sitting in his seat. And you think, come on, mate, it ain't hard, is it? I know it was hard for her to look at what row and seat. I'd never understood it. If you're in row 62 and your seat number is and you're sitting in the wrong place, you know you're in the wrong place. Dear, oh dear.
Any other business before we move on? Declan's here to stay. I know you're going to... I've you a little wager, Len. Declan's here to stay. Can't say why, but he's here to stay. Don't worry, your portraits and your prints are safe for another season.
Sold them on Friday.
Oh, well done. Well done.
I had a lovely time.
Good.
At an event on Friday. Met lots of people. Met lots. Some of the 8 listeners. Bought paintings. None of them like you.
Good.
Well, that's not that true. They just think me and Nigel are the only ones that talk sense. Oh. Throughout all the podcasts, not just ours. Well, which is a nice thing to
me. Miserable attracts miserable, I suppose.
No need for that. And one of our 8 listeners. They were miserable. You're what makes us miserable. Yeah.
Anyway.
It was great getting out and seeing people this weekend. Friday and Sunday, I'm at EB. There were loads of people.
Yeah, he texted me the same. Fantastic.
John, what did you say?
Do I talk then? Where am I in the world of Sean?
Yeah.
Am I regarded as a Sean?
You're guilty by association.
You said only you and Nigel talk sense.
Yeah,
that's what they said.
So what about John?
They didn't mention John. Sorry, John. They just didn't mention you.
Right. Let's move on.
All right.
I'm
very tired tonight. I had to stay up late to start another painting because I'm releasing 2 on Wednesday because it signifies 2 events on the same day, isn't there? There's a playoff final.
Yeah.
And we won the Euro Cup Winners' Cup. And so I don't like leaving one out.
Okay. We're at the hour mark. Time for this. Yeah. It's Facebook Twitter question time, where we will answer questions for 28 minutes. Nigel, I'm hoping you didn't put it up too soon.
44 minutes ago.
Oh, forget
it. Come on, the questions.
How do I know how long you was going to rabbit for? Yeah, I thought you would. I didn't expect us to have done an hour. I thought like 15 minutes ago we'd have been on question time. It's not my fault you keep interrupting, giving us your guff when you ask us a question and don't let us answer it. So you've only got yourself to blame. Christy Mills says, it was amazing and touching to see so many people stay behind for Mark's leaving ceremony after the game.
Yeah, no one left.
One more game down in Brighton next weekend, but it's been an amazing end to the season we're all having.
Yeah.
Matty Kemp says, evening, gents, here's a thought. If Moyes is right and we only need a couple of signings, maybe Nodes could get another year as we won't have anyone to cover central midfield. It'd be like when we re-signed Colton Cole after releasing him.
That was, yeah.
Brady out.
As I said, Brady out. It would be like that. I don't think it'd happen now.
Next up, it's Super Ted Sexton, Dave's son, says, great occasion yesterday. If the Athletics depart, the LS is rumoured. What can be done to make it a football stadium? Or is that impossible? Thanks for all your excellent shows. In my opinion, Ted, it's impossible, because without smashing it down and rebuilding it, or actually building four temporary stands, what you could do is, if Athletics move out, do away with the lower tier, build four temporary stands inside the upper tier, and then we can all sit nearer the pitch. How about that for an idea? Build a new football ground inside the football ground. What do you think, Sean?
Sounds like an excellent idea.
Here you go. If we're sitting in temporary seating, we might as well all sit in temporary seating.
Yeah,
we?
Why not? Why not?
I ain't bothered whether it seats temporary or not, as long as it's permanent while I'm sitting in it. Next up was Ed Hughes.
That's a bit of screw. Sorry, yeah. I told you I was tired. Oh, no. Loves a bit of screw.
Evening, he said. He thought the Nobes send-off was classy. Capped a wonderful result. The draw with Man City is an amazing result, which it is, Ed. I hope Southgate was watching with Bowen.
Yeah.
Bring on the weekend. Would love to finish in the Europa League spot. Next up, it's the mighty Wire himself, the Frenchman from Guernsey. It's Mr. Ian Wiley. He says, hi, lads. Three fantastics, he says. Fantastic send-off for Mark Noble. Thoroughly deserved. He thought it was fantastic to see Len's artwork used as a gift to Mark.
Thank you, Ian.
And a fantastic to secure Euro football next season. Let's hope we can improve on conference and swap it for Europa on Sunday.
Yeah.
And he's got an extra fantastic to all you guys for the time and effort we've put in this season, every season. It's appreciated by us nine listeners. So Ian's
wow, where do we get this extra listener from?
It's probably his daughter. Or his wife. I know he makes her listen.
Oh.
There you go. Next up, it's the old carrot cruncher from Bicester, Grant Croxford. Evening all, he said. Really thought the atmosphere was rocking at times. Nice end to the season. The council trading standards officer was out with two police officers yesterday terrorising half and half sellers.
Oh, was he?
Well, it was funny.
After ad coverage.
I did, as I walked past one on the walk up to station, one of them was being sort of shut down and being made to pack up. And I sort of quipped, well, you know, he's obviously a dod, you know, they were treated like they were selling drugs, you know. In fact, I've seen drug dealers that have had less aggravation off of the old bills they've gone past than the up and half sellers. And I do find it a bit distasteful that they do that. You know, leave them alone, let them earn a few quid. No, if people want to pay £15 for a scarf, that's up to the people, isn't it? No one's put a gun to their head and said, you got to buy this scarf. So, live and let live, I say. Sheep on the line, says Grant, continuing. Slightly delayed my train home. There you go.
Oh, dear.
That's what happens when you live out in Boycester. Fantastic first season watching West Ham with my lads. So many memories so far. That's what it means, Grant, when you go with your kid.
Yeah.
He got his email this morning offering me a season ticket for next season. Deposit pay for two of us. Can't wait to be back in August. He thought the send-off for Noble was lovely. And glad he got a good reception from the City fans. I didn't notice, I must admit.
No, I didn't notice that.
The second half, though, nearly killed me, says Grant. Have a great summer. And Brady out.
Brady out.
Thank you,
then Canning Town then says, don't forget you can get a print of his painting with a nice picture of Mr. Christmas.
I only printed a painting at Noble
Home. To be fair, though, Mr. Christmas, if you do listen, you know, when representing the supporters club on the pitch, could you smarten yourself up a bit? Because back in the old day, we used to have an old boy who wore his Sunday best suit and his, you know, his whistle, and he looked very smart, and you know what, traipsing out.
We should have a fundraising to arrange, get a suit for Christmas, maybe.
Well, look, Paul can look when he, you know, when you're going on a pitch to present things, I just think you know, be a bit smarter. That's all. Club suits, I'm all in favour of them. Mr. Paul Nolan, chauffeur here, bip bip, he says. Well, what a day it was yesterday. The excitement of seeing Mr. West Ham in action. Ooh, no, not Mark Noble, but Nigel Kahn. Thanks to Nigel, managed to secure an extra seat, allowing the wife and daughter to sit in our regular seats. Yeah, Mr. the old chauffeur had to sit next to me. He said he even caught up with Dodsey, but missed the old Marion Oilboil. Who was, I don't know where he was. Oh, he was too busy having selfies with the whetstone.
God, he must have a long arm.
There you go. The match itself was a fitting send-off for Noble. Europe secured for second season. Thanks again, Nigel. And Sean, enjoy your grenade bar. And Len, top poultry.
Who told him about that? Oh, because you were telling everyone that I had a protein bar in my thing that went over.
No, he was sitting next to me when I was rummaging through your bag. And
there's nothing wrong with grenade bars. It's full of protein. 20 grams of protein. It's low in calories. The delight
I had in feeling that thing at the bottom, pulling it out, thinking it was a Twix or something for me to eat.
You should try it. Protein bars are nice.
He's giving you tips here. He's telling you how to beat him.
Yeah. By the way, probably under your weight now.
Oh.
Well.
Seesaw. A John Seesaw challenge is on.
As I pointed out to you yesterday, you've got a few more holidays yet.
Yeah,
before,
I have got quite a few
August.
Holidays to come.
So I know how you like to live on your holidays.
Yeah.
So next up, it's old Happy Chops himself. It's the Welsh Wizard of Herefordshire, Marion Williams. Oh, boys. It was great to have my photograph with Richard Dodds, who amazingly looks not as yellow in real life. The pick was taken with the stooge, who is just as annoying in the flesh.
Ain't he just?
Yeah. One question, says Marion. One question only. What are the gang's plans for the summer, and will the stooge spend any time at home? What are you doing for the summer, John?
For the summer, I've got my first holiday in Tenerife for 3 years. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Check out the Soul Bar or the Calypso Cafe.
That's where, what's his name, sings, is it?
Yeah, the soul singing superstar of Tenerife, Mr. Michael Levy Jr.
Mr. Michael
when
Levy
you out
Jr.
there?
August.
Oh, that's all right, because he's over here in June and July. Check out his tour, people. Check out Michael Levy Jr.'s website. Google him, Facebook him, wherever you him, and tickets are available in all good retailers. Super Chrissy Mills comes up. He thought it was a fantastic send-off for Noble. Great day out. Wish the stadium could be that loud and passionate every week. It was a long time coming in the league. And he says, well done to Len for his latest work. What a great job.
Thank you, Chris. Now,
Chris then says, with the news that Athletics are rightfully binning off the ship here and its full legacy, will this see us finally getting some proper football stands? Chris seems to think that for 150 to 200 million, we could probably make it a proper football stadium. Surely worth a long time mortgage if they can put right the biggest error in the club's history. Brady out.
Brady out.
Well, I know you've poo-pooed that already, Sean, didn't you?
I have, yeah.
Right. I mean, how much would it cost, actually, if you think of my plan? Ditch off the old athletics, rip up the lower tier, and just build four temporary stands.
Well, you can work it out, because it cost about 14.5 million to build the West Stand again, right? It cost, I think, 11 million to build the North and the South. So if you add the two up, all right, you've got to say 28 million for the West and East, right, to rebuild. Another 11 million. What's that? Call it 40 million for friends. Let's round it up to 40 million.
Would probably only hold 50,000. Acceptable. Right?
Lower tier. But you do rake.
No, Sean. No. Yeah. You've misunderstood what I said. You rip up the lower tier.
Yeah.
And build complete temporary seating all the way back. Yeah. In front of. So you build a new stadium inside the upper tier. Completely new.
Well,
what do you mean?
So you don't use the upper anymore?
No, you build new seats in front of it.
But raked up to the other ones.
No. Sean, what part of build new seats in front of it do you not understand?
Well, because I thought it would be a rake all the way up. What are you going to do with the seats then? Just leave them there?
Leave them there.
The ones that are like that in the front. That's just at the end.
Right to move you lot in the lower tier forward, but us that sit upper tier, fuck you.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
So the minority, the 19,000 downstairs.
You pay a fraction of what we pay.
No, I pay a fraction of what you pay.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
Perhaps I'll pay more if they move me forward.
Well, come down with us.
I don't want to sit down there, do I?
Right.
There's 10 times more people than normally allowed down where you are. You can't sit down.
Not on Sunday, weren't it? It was all right.
Yeah, all right. We'll see. Anthony Collins. All right, Tony. He says, how come Sean always switches off at question time when the puppet masters haven't given him anything to say? Len.
Hello, mate.
He says, keep being angry, swearing. It's good for you to let it out.
No, it's not. Blood pressure is not a good thing.
Very entertaining.
Yeah, he's all right. He hasn't let one blow tonight.
I'm tired.
Oh, good. It's always, you should do that more often. You need to relax. You need to chill out.
Well, I'm a more chilled person now, but he is right. I should let off my steam.
Calm.
I think it makes you... I don't think it's good keeping it in.
No, it's not.
Get a bit of interest.
Let it out.
Plus, if he likes it, you know, I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve.
Next up, it'd be all right, my handsome's how you's doing it. I'll be the travelling Wilbury from Taunton, Richard Dodds. He says, listening to the FA Cup build-up on Saturday, it's hard to believe that day back in February we played Kidderminster, scraping through in the last minute.
Yeah.
As it led to one of our best seasons in our history. And that is something we all need to cherish and revel in this season. Dodsey was surprised Moyes hasn't been shortlisted for Manager of the Year when Patrick Vieira's in there. Baffled the life out of me, Dodds, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
And he's got, what are your plans for 8 weeks break before we play in the European Conference League in August? Sean, what are you doing in the summer?
I've got actually a 6-week paid sabbatical from my company from... doing 30 years service, which was quite some time ago. So I'm spending...
So after 30 years, they've had enough of you and they're saying, look, Sean, we're going to pay you to stay away.
Yeah, so I'm going to Mexico for 2 weeks with the family and then I've got a couple of weeks in Spain.
So
at least a month I will be abroad.
There we go.
And then I'm doing...
Then now you know why I don't need to change my life.
Confident now.
What? What are you saying?
You, Tubbs. Holidays.
I will be doing lots of things, so sort of late July to sort of early September, I'll be away.
Late July to early September?
Yeah.
Oh, so you know when the football season starts?
Yeah, I know that. You always go on about this, right? I'll be back early September. What's the first game of the season?
Early August, because it's an early start because of the World Cup.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, see, your planning is shockingly poor.
It's always been the same. He's always missed the first two games or whatever.
I've missed usually the first game, sometimes two, yeah.
Some amateur hour.
Well, John, you can go. You got a bit of a flavour for it at the semi-finals, so why don't you go?
Yeah, I'll go, yeah.
Yeah.
Have his seat, John. It's a double bonus. Because he ain't going to be next year.
Oi, I'll tell you a story. John. Oh, this is a really funny story. Until Big Keith listened to the podcast last week, he didn't know he was called Big Keith.
He didn't know he was called Big Keith?
Yeah.
What do you think he was called then?
Just Keith.
John.
He said, no, I didn't know I was called Big Keith until I listened to the podcast and found out I was called Big Keith. I didn't know my name was Big Keith.
That's what you call him. I don't think anyone else is.
No, you called him Big Keith.
I said his name. I didn't call him Big Keith. You described him to me as Big Keith. So I'm right. Yeah, I know
what
you mean.
Oh, no, you're just trying to point it away.
Oh, dear.
Anyway. Good old Big
Next
Keith.
Next up. Oh, Dodsey says, would we have celebrated Mark Noble's last game any different than what the club did? No. I'd have took him for a Toby Carvery, to be honest.
Oh, I would have taken him for a Mission
at
Star.
At 12 o'clock.
Star meal.
Yeah, 12 o'clock, that's right. Get that down, your son. You'll love it. Michael Levy Jr. says, great servant, great team performance, short enough, thanks all. There you go. Well done, Mike, for reading the message I put out. Jay, what are you doing for the summer? Going away?
No, that's it. I'm just painting in the garden.
What, are you painting your garden?
No, just, you know, painting.
I'll paint.
Don't know what I'm going to do, really.
Remember, if you don't want your season ticket, just message me. Just message me and it will sort it, you know?
I think I might keep it. I don't know yet.
There you go. Shut up, you Sean, anyway.
Yeah.
Brady
I'll be
out.
Enjoying not seeing and hearing from Sean with all his holidays. Brady out.
Says AI Sean. Hey up, gents, he says. It's AI Sean from Holt. Firstly, well done to the club for making a noble occasion in style. Great performance for the team and congratulations for securing European football for the second consecutive season.
Well done.
He's already looking forward to Dodsey's second series of Around the World in 80 Days. Now, I do have to mention Sean's secret sauce up to his old tricks, leaking the Rice contract offer to his media cronies, knowing full well nobody's going to sign an 8-year contract. Does he really think we don't know what he's up to? What's going to keep Rice is building on the success of the last two seasons, investing in the squad so we can challenge on multiple fronts in the future season. How did that come about, Sean, that 8-year contract, $200,000 a week, getting out? Do you know?
I don't know. You'd have to ask Jim Smith. But I do understand it's true, although I think it's a 6+2, personally. As you know, 6 years is for someone his age, 6 years is probably the right amount of time, plus a 2-year option. For someone his age, that's the kind of contract you would offer. Yes, it's £83 million if you take it over the whole 8 years. Yes, there's likely to be a release clause in it. Whether he's going to sign it, don't know. Is it worth the paper it's written in? Absolutely not. Contracts mean nothing. Whether you sign an 8-year contract, it just increases the value that we could sell him at. If a player wants to leave, a player wants
depends.
To leave.
Thanks, well, it depends whether they put a release clause at a realistic offer, then it won't add the value, will it?
We'll see.
It just protects him from walking away in 2 years' time or 3 years' time.
We've seen players where it's not met the release flea and they still walk, John. So,
you know. Yeah, no, of course.
All right. What's your favourite Mark Noble moment from his career?
Probably lifting, was it Herrera, the Man United player, off?
Yeah. Was it Herrera? That was in the cup game, wasn't it?
Throwing Jesus off the pitch at the Burnley Wrights.
That was your favourite moment of
his career?
I'm
joking because I know you've still got a problem with him on that. Do you know what I remember his debut? Well, I don't remember his debut. I remember my daughter had only just been born, so I went to the Southend game because I wasn't going too much to games at that point, and I went to a cup game. I remember Marlon Harewood scoring two. I don't remember him coming on, but I did meet him with my daughter once during a shirt launch in 2016, and I can tell you, he's one of the nicest guys you've ever meet. Met my daughter, and he met a load of other kids at the same time because the catering manager sorted it out. And he just spent so much time with the kids, talking to them, really getting to know them, having their pictures taken, signing autographs, everything. He will be missed because he's such a character. He's such a force in the club. And there will be no one to replace him. I'm sure he's going to be ambassador one day. But it's his presence. It's not just his playing, it's his presence. And I think you saw the picture. The thing that sums up Mark Noble for me is he was still brushing up the changing room at the end of the day after the game on Sunday.
Sweeping.
Well done.
Good.
Right, okay. John, you got any favourite moments?
Mark Noble moments. Nothing, I mean, his, what was that goal he scored on the volley?
But Leicester City away.
I believe, I know if everyone puts it down to Tevez, the survival year, I believe he was a massive part of that, him coming in.
Yeah.
And I honestly think that he's not youthful drive and quality that he brought just changed the season around.
Yeah, so, he scored a couple of great goals. People talk about his Tottenham one, but he got a great one against Bolton in the 3-0 win. I thought he came in towards the end of that season. I think in the January or the February, I think he came into the first team and never really left it after that.
Yeah, he just brought a lot of breath of fresh air, wasn't he? And
yeah. He
was obviously a local, out the you know, youth team and everything that brings, he just lifted the place.
Yeah, to it's what we all want. To have a kid go from ball boy at Upton Park to captaining the team the last time we ever played there, I think that for me will be the defining moment for me.
Yeah.
And I'll ignore what he did.
Good, well done. I'm glad you kissed and made up at the end.
And AI Sean says he's got to say that the sauerkraut defending the booing of God Save the Queen the FA Cup final makes him even more detestable. I don't know if you can blame him for defending. I don't think he defended them.
He came out and said, whilst he didn't like it, he knows it would be a justifiable reason for them to do it.
Yeah, well,
he knows there's a justifiable reason. Yeah. Which is what?
Well, that's not English, all that sort of crap. And it's just the whole thing about it is just...
I don't like booing of foreign national anthems. I think it's disrespectful.
That's classes as well.
To do it to your own.
Yeah.
You know, I just find it... And people come out with this guff about, because of Thatcher, because of this... Because of that.
What's Thatcher got to do with the royal family?
Exactly right. What's it got to do with
the national anthem?
Yeah.
The national anthem is nothing to do with Thatcher or the royal family, but really.
The Prince William got booed, and so did Abide With Me.
A Christian hymn. It's just.
It ain't it's that. Just, that's, and that is the traditional cup final song that's been played.
Yeah.
But, you know. There's a recording of the 1924, I think, FA Cup final, Abide With Me.
But the media's just, sort of the way they deal with all this is just so bad. Mm. And they try and justify things on. And then they sort of say, when Pep came out and said everybody wants Liverpool to win, say, hold on a minute, let's get it right. Everyone in the media, or the broadcast media more so, want Liverpool to win. Some of the comments they say, it's unbelievable bias when you hear them talking to them during the games.
But I would say the majority of fans don't want Liverpool to win.
No.
I would say the majority of fans have a big dislike. And that's a lot to do with them, like the banning we got in Europe because of what went on. And,
yeah.
And the way they just... It's just Liverpool, isn't it? And they continuously do this sort of stuff. And I think they're up there with Tottenham for the London fans as they are for the nationally. Everyone in London hates Tottenham. And I think nationally most clubs would rather anyone but Liverpool. And that's what the media don't portray. They always just throw it down your necks with the loving.
Mm. Yeah. I'd prefer Liverpool over Man City, to be honest, to win the title. But
still 0-0. Newcastle are holding Arsenal.
Why is Jason, that, Nigel?
Why is that? It's a funny, someone said to me, apparently, I'm a legacy. We're legacy fans. That's our official title. And I see Liverpool as a legacy football club. I think Man City, while it was good when they first started winning things, I think their financial power and the way they've gone about it leaves a lot to be desired. And I'll probably say for Newcastle. You know, the Arab American. It's funny because I know Liverpool American, but if I was choosing out Liverpool and Man United,
but Liverpool haven't done it for nothing, have they?
They
didn't win anything. Yeah,
but they've
for
done it
years.
In a more organic way, I would say, than Man City. You know, the petrodollar has obviously, you know, contributed it. But
you see that thing about Chelsea. Chelsea have on average lost £900,000 a week since Abramovich.
Yeah, you know, he used to just write a cheque.
Yeah, every club that's challenged has done
oh,
that.
No.
Liverpool's no different.
Yeah, no. But I mean, if you look at, without getting into it too deeply, you know, like the £400 million sponsorship with their stadium that was announced the day after they took control of the stadium for like £1 from the council. It's...
But that's kind of things they have to do to get through all the things that are put in place to stop the likes of City achieving anything.
No, I don't think there's no great reset button, is there? Personally, I'm all in favour of the Super League. Let them piss off and leave the rest of us to it. I think the Premier League would still be a fantastic advert without those six or... if they want Tottenham, they can have them. I'm not sure we'd want them anyway. But
anyway, this is not the price of football. We're not discussing Premier League.
Oh, sorry. We're talking about something you're not.
No, I'm just saying, oh, right? No, you were doing really well on the questions and suddenly you've digressed and gone off onto football, finance and legacy.
What I'll do is I'll ask you a question next and I'll answer it for you.
Go on then.
Evening, gents. What a game yesterday, says Jason Backhouse. Great send-off for those. Good point, though, and this is why I'll read it out. No Hammer of the Year presentation on the pitch again.
Yeah, I know.
So, on to the referee, Sunday. How can the Premier League appoint a referee from Manchester when so much is at stake for both Manchester clubs and us?
Shocking.
Should there be an inquiry into this and a ruling made for future games whether a referee supports his local home team, town or not? Didn't realise he was from Manchester. But again, no Hammer of the Year presentation, so not, you know...
You spoke, Randy. You know about that, didn't you?
No. Why no Hammer of the Year presentation?
Well, because I know this was happening. They couldn't fit it in with the. They wanted to be about Mark Noble, so they said they would fit it in the first game of next season.
Yes, when we've all forgot about it and nobody's bothered. Yeah. And it won't happen.
That's what they said last year or the year before.
They're not content with the fact that they've stole it off the supporters club. Then they don't want nothing involved.
You just have to play the game.
Oh, Sean, stop fucking saying this. But
well,
then
you
again,
do, you know.
You enjoyed Frankfurt,
what?
Didn't you, Sean?
We're stealing back then.
So
we'll say that again?
I said you enjoyed Frankfurt, so...
Yeah, so
good
afternoon. I don't get your point. It was
no, so. You don't get my point. Barry Meikle, our favourite Canadian, says, good afternoon from a rainy Canada. Good result with the inevitable comeback by City. Thought the Noble stuff was really nicely done. Look forward to the documentary. I was annoyed by the BBC's lack of coverage of it on their website. Perhaps they're saving it for this Sunday. If this was a long-serving, greedy six player, they'd be all over it. Brady out. Well, TalkSport could give it at least 10 minutes.
Well, if you go on the West Ham website, they've just released the whole footage now, the extended footage of the celebration.
The extended footage?
Extended footage.
Was that different from what was on?
I think it's a bit longer, yeah. Oh, no, today. Yeah, you're right. They published a shorter one yesterday, but they published one today that's the extended footage that's on YouTube.
All right, I think we'll call it a day, dear.
Cool. That's last game of the season against Brighton, the Seagulls at the Amex Stadium. Nigel, predictions?
3-1, West Ham.
And Palace United.
What?
Palace United.
Yeah, Palace are playing midweek, didn't you?
Yeah.
Draw 1-1.
Okay. That gets us sixth place. Thank you. Len?
Bad refereeing weekend, I suspect.
Oh, really?
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Go on then. So, yeah. West Ham.
I suspect.
West Ham completely robbed 1-1.
Ooh.
Palace completely robbed 1-1.
Oh, right,
VAR
okay.
Penalty.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
John?
Yeah, I completely agree with Len. We'll draw or with Brighton contentiously, and Man United will get a dodgy pen and win.
Well, I'm going to go for a West Ham 1-0 win away. I will go for a Palace 1-0 win, which means we will get six. We will back in the Europa League. And tonight, Declan Rice has said he's looking forward. He wants to play in the Europa League with West Ham next season. So, all to play for. And I think he'll still be here. Anything else to say, or before I say our goodbyes? I'm sure we'll be back next week to discuss the last week game of the season. No?
No, thanks to everyone that said hello Sunday. It was great to spend time with Paul Nolan.
Good.
Dodsy. Thanks for Dodsy's gift that Paul gave to me.
Cool.
So thanks to Ebi for his gifts that he brought over from Germany.
Thanks,
Sean,
for your gift.
Oh, I was going to say, you're going to mention I bought you a T-shirt back as well.
Yeah, so...
You do that through gritted teeth. You go, oh, fucking
well, I just
Thank you for carrying back my protein bar, my scarf, and my bag back from Germany.
And you let off.
You're my bag, man. Anyway, I've been Sean. John's been...
Glad to be here.
Len's been...
Honoured and tired.
And Nigel's been...
Looking forward to a summer break.
Come on, you irons.
Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.